This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And we are the MFG Cast.
You had a dramatic pause there.
For effect.
Yes.
Nice. There's a sound effect.
I literally thought he was just going to air guitar and not let and anybody not do it. Hear
in this. My head, I was listening to the song.
Nice.
It felt real.
Hey everybody, welcome to another board game edition of the MFG Cast. This episode we're going to be talking about Critter Kitchen.
Critter Kitchen?
Yeah, designed by Alex Cutler and Peter C. Hayward. Artist is Sundara Tang and published by Cardboard Alchemy. Wow, let's try that again.
Whoa.
Yeah, it didn't work so well.
Cutler's a pretty good name for a kitchen game.
That is true.
Yeah,
that's true.
A Cutler reaction.
I wonder. Do you think that they changed their name for this game because they knew it was going to be so popular?
No.
Maybe they should.
We have a no. And we have a maybe. We'll see what happens.
Call them.
Yeah. Alex, if you're listening, call in. No, we don't have a phone number. Or
911.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
1-800-MFGCast.
Call 867-5309.
Reminds me of one time that my son was sleeping, and that kid can sleep. He rolled over on his iPhone when we got it, and they were having an issue. I'm sure that people listening had this happen to them as well, where somehow he like laid on it. And then it started making noise and he woke up and like shut his phone off and then he was awake. So he got up and went in and took a shower and he's in the shower and all of a sudden there's a flashlight like coming through my windows. And then I'm having like knocking on the door. There's a cop there because he accidentally called 911. And I'm like, yeah, they're like, did you call for 911? Are you okay? And I'm like, no, I definitely did not. They're like, is anybody else in the house? I'm like, yeah, my son. Well, we need to talk to him to make sure he's okay. Like, he's in the shower. I'm like, okay, but we believe he called 911, so we need to talk to him to make sure he is safe too, which I respect. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to go out and be like, hey, Cam, like, you called 911. You need to come out here. So he had to, like, come out of the shower quick and, like, come and just, like, show himself to the officer and be like, yeah, my phone, like, I was sleeping, but my phone, like, made this weird, like, whoop, whoop sound. He's like, I thought I just, like, it was an alarm. Yep. Cops at the door. So, yeah, there we go. Oh, I don't know how we got
they did their job.
Yep.
We got to that because I said he can call 911.
Oh, yeah. Don't call 911.
Don't, yeah.
Hey, Siri. No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
You know what's funny?
Send email.
You're actually making
your
phone do it?
Yeah.
And
I woke my phone up.
You actually woke my phone up, which only responds to my voice. Why is it responding to yours?
Phone has responded to my
phone.
Your
phone loves me.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them.
You feel cheated on.
I do.
Say on. Don't worry. I would never talk into your phone. Hey, should we talk about the game?
Yeah, let's talk
about
the game.
Is that why we're here?
Yeah.
So is this a board game? Because there is a board.
There are
cards. I call this a board game.
Yeah.
This is a multi-board game.
That's
right. Multi-pack.
There you go. Multi-pack.
I call it. I call it a clever board game.
Nice.
Because they add a lot of funny, quirky things.
Yes.
They nailed it. Yeah. The art, the names. Yeah, this is a fun one. I really like this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically what you're doing, you're just gathering ingredients for making dishes to satisfy the meals that are presented to you. But then also at the end, you're trying to present this dinner to a famous chef that needs something special.
Yeah.
And
who will be judging you?
Yes, that's right. Always judging.
Food critic.
Food critic.
Food
thank
critic.
You.
Yes,
there
thank
we
you.
Go. I was yep. dying trying to think of it.
But how it becomes clever is they put spins on real chefs' names.
Yes.
So not only is the art really cute and stuff like that, but if you are you follow like cooking shows or are familiar with famous chefs, they put spins on them. Like, if you know who Bobby Flay is, they named him Bobcat Flay.
Because all of the characters and everything are critters.
Yeah.
Animals.
Animals.
Or, I'm trying to think of somebody. Instead of Julia Childs, right? Was she Child or Child? Mm-hmm.
Child.
Okay. Who is, like, from a long time ago, she's Julia Wilde on here. Or Martha Stewart is Martha Shrewart.
Yeah, they did a very good job with all of the, like, tying the animal style of game into Chef's World and actual people involved with cooking. Yeah, it was very clever.
It is really cute.
So, full disclosure for me on this game, when this one got sent over and it was picked, I almost immediately dipped out because I'm like, I'm not going to like this game. And I was tired. Dude, this time change has got me going for, like, yeah, the whole, yeah.
Are you glad you didn't dip?
Yes. So, that's what I was getting to is, like, when I got it, I was, like, looking at it because it's very complicated. Like, there's a lot to it. And I am not normally a fan of the, like, hide what you're doing games, and this one's got that little board where you cover up what you're doing for your own strategy, and this one has to be in it. And at the end of all of this, I will say I love this game.
Yeah.
And this is a very fun game, but looking at it, I, as I've mentioned before, I need to play games to get it. Like, I can't read the book and figure out how to do it. Even some of the videos, and the videos I watched on this one were not great. I think they were as great as they could be because this game's very complicated. There's a lot to it. But when you break it right down, it is just about putting food on a plate with higher numbers. That really is all there is to it based on what is shown. But there is a lot to it with all the different cards, and there's a lot of different strategy you can tell. And I knew I was going to have to block everything off, so I wasn't going to be able to look and see what other people were doing, kind of wrap my head around what this game was. And I was like, I'm going to hate this because it's too much, too many rules. I'm tired. I don't want to do this. But I was like, you know what? These are my friends, and I am going to go play. And I like to cook. And, like, I did see those names of the critters. And I was like, so that's cool. I'm like, so I'm just going to go over. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to play this game. I'm going to hate it. I'm just going to have a good time with my friends on a you know, evening night. And then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fall asleep. And that's going to be good. And as we're playing, I'm like, okay, I got this. Like, right away, I was like, yeah, this is more basic than what I thought it was. And even though it was... And it took about three hands through, and I was like, okay, I got this. I got it. Like, I think going through and playing again, everybody would do things a little different because there are a lot of rules to this one where we were constantly checking to make sure. But again, it all kind of breaks down to being pretty basic for the most part.
But I think part of the reason why you're checking the rules too, besides them there being a lot of them, was we didn't find a really great video on it. Like, I mean, the only one that we watched, we meaning Kurt and I, was a 3-minute breakdown, and that's all that we watched.
Yeah, I watched a couple of them. I watched one that was like 20 minutes long, and it didn't really give me any more. Like, I honestly learned more from the 3-minute video, and that's not ripping on any of the videos. I feel like they did the best they could. I think the reason we were going to the rule book so much is because there's so many similar things within this game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, everything is very close, but you have to do things certain ways or it totally throws it off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where once you know those things, though, it's like, if we play it again, it'll be like, oh, I got this. Like, oh, no, remember, we got to do it this way now. So once you go through and play it, it doesn't, like, now I'm like, hey, yeah, it's complicated. There's a lot there, but it all makes sense because of how they tie it together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like this game is... I think even if you throw out the theme, like, you're like, oh, I don't really care about cooking or whatever. Like, this is still, like, it's a resource management game where you're trying to collect as many things to get certain dishes, but also plan for the critic in the seventh round, because this is 7 rounds of a game. And you're also, like, you have, like, a, what they call a wild food, which is, like, a soup where you can help, that can be in, replaced, it can replace one of your ingredients and stuff like that. So, like, there's, like, if you love resource management, this has got a lot of that there. Also, with the hidden thing, it's got that hidden component. So it's like, if you're really good mentally of, like, hiding stuff from everybody, but also, like, remembering, like, oh, I remember Jason took this And now I know that that he needs these other two ingredients for this dish, so maybe I can block him on that, which I'm fucking terrible at.
I was trying to remember that.
Oh, I'm the worst at that, so I don't ever try to do that.
I did
that.
A little bit, but I was more trying to figure out ways that I could guarantee that I would score. Because it's very limited. Everybody is going for the same everybody's going for the same three ingredients to use. After the second round, it's six. After the third round, it's eight. So you're all going for those same things. And our first section of the game, that was three, multiple of the meals we were trying to collect ingredients for use the same ingredients. So we were all like needing to go for it. But the one thing I really liked about this is no matter what, there was something you could do.
Yeah.
There was something every single hand. You weren't ever at a spot where you're going, well, there's nothing for me out there. There's always something to grab, always some way to add to your plate, whether it was planning for what was there or hoping to plan something for the future or trying to plan some of the overarching scoring things that were going to happen towards the end, things that you could carry through. So there's always something to be doing, and the hidden component definitely added to it. Because if you could see what everybody else was doing, then you could just abandon if you knew that you weren't going to get it, you could just stop going for that certain thing and go for something else, and it would become impossible because everybody would just start going for their own things then, and then it would just be a luck of the draw.
Yeah.
Who gets the higher numbers, where with it being hidden, you didn't know for sure who was trying to stack up their plates. Like, it seemed like Mike was just constantly collecting soups to try and use those, because one of the overall scoring things was who had the most soups. And the person that got the point for the most soups at the end, which was me, I had one that I grabbed on my last turn because everybody ended up using all their soups, and that was the first soup I had grabbed in the entire game.
Yeah.
So it's like I honestly thought Mike had a stack of 30 of them over there, and he ended up using them all.
But he did, but he was putting them on his plate.
So. Yeah. So there's a lot of strategy for being a basic game. There's a lot to this. Yeah.
Well, that and the fact that, to tack on to the fact that, I mean, you never know. Like, when we first started playing, I was like, oh my gosh, we're all aiming for the same dish the first time. But it's not just that round. You can work on that same dish the next time the next meal is flipped over. And, like, you're drawing from this bag. You're putting ingredients out on certain locations. And then you're trying to basically place chefs in certain areas to try to claim first dibs on those spots. But then there's this cool spot that you go to. I can't remember what it is, but you're miscellaneously drawing from a bag, and you don't know what type of resources or ingredients are going to be
there. Midnight shop or whatever.
I was thinking mystery something. I knew it was something with an M. But I liked going to that spot because even if you didn't know what you were getting there, there was nice potential because there were like five spots I think something like that for resources. But then there was also another spot where if people didn't take ingredients, they moved over to the very end spot.
The Chef Academy,
which Jason always went to. Yeah. But they also carried a sous chef there, which were the cool renamed chefs that we talked about at the very beginning, where you had... Weren't they?
No. Those chefs were something that you could... Each individual person could have that one of those for the game, and it was like a goal for the game.
Yeah, like a bonus thing. We decided not to do it for our first playthrough because it is so complicated. Yeah,
they're still called sous chefs, so at Chef's Academy, aren't they?
Zoo chefs. They had some of the fun names. So the cards that we're talking about and the locations, it's basically like you're shopping because you're a chef, so you're going to shop at these different locations to collect your food. But yeah, like you said, I went to that Chef Academy every time because there is a zoo chef there. And right away, to me, it seemed like a good strategy would be if everybody gets three tokens to put out to go to a different location to choose. But if you can get the zoo chef, you get a fourth. So that...
And a superpower. Like a superpower, kind of. Right,
which weren't that great, really.
Right.
But it was always giving you another person for the next round to be able to choose something else. So it gave me a better shot at getting the things that I wanted. And one of those things... we were talking about where we were all kind of going for the same things on our plates from those cards the first times. But like right away, I was thinking about towards endgame where you get to choose one ingredient on one of each ingredient to put on your plate of the seven choices. But you score off the highest number. So whenever I was looking at the board and it was like, oh, like the two meals we're trying to prepare are both include carrots and there's only two carrots out on the board, mm-hmm. like to be shopped for. Like, yeah, I could go to the Chef's Academy and hope that something pops up there. I could go to the Midnight Market and hope something pops up there. But I could also just say, well, everybody's trying to get those things or the bread or the wine that's out there for a meal. Well, I'm going to try and grab a fish that's either a 6 or a 7 then, because then I'll just carry that over and take it to the end game. So there was a lot of that where, like, I just need to get one of these things to be able to plate. But if I can't for sure get it, I want to have another choice so I can use my fourth choice where everybody else is only getting 3. Now I'm getting 4 and I'm trying to think long term to the end of the game because I only played it 1 during that first round because I was trying to stack up, which I wasn't paying attention to all the rules because there are so many and wasn't able to actually carry all of it through.
Yeah.
But it's still one of those games where you can have 4 people with 4 vastly different strategies mm-hmm. and everybody can play and do something every hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is it? The first round you present, is it 2 or 3 dishes? It's 3 dishes.
3 dishes, yep.
And then at the end of that round, then you have to discard, well, you can keep your soups, because there's always room in the fridge, is what they say.
It's true.
And then you, and who doesn't love soup?
It's soup season.
And then you can only keep 5 ingredients that are outside the plates that you already made because you get rid of those ingredients. And then the next round, you make another 3 plates and then you can keep 10 ingredients.
Yep.
Up to 10 after, outside of those 3 plates that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move on to
that 7th and last round where you're trying to impress the critic.
Not yet because you, oh yeah, you don't do the critic, it's that other person.
That is the critic.
That is the critic. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to build up your last hurrah
mm-hmm.
before you do the final course or something they call it, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then you're doing whoever has the most soup, whoever has the highest number of points on ingredients, whoever has all the ingredients,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And you can get more points for ingredients. I think the highest number is 8?
7.
7? I was going to say I didn't see an 8. But you also can double the points if you collect a resource that has seasoning on it. But you
spice.
Mm-hmm. Seasoning, spice. But you have to have that resource also. So if you collect a spice that has a carrot on it, you also would have to have the carrot
mm-hmm.
in order to double that. So if you have a carrot worth 3 and a spice, a spicy carrot is what we would call it, then you would, that would be worth 6 points. So then you count up those points. You also count up rumor cards, which I equate to objectives throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot, if there's a lot of people listening to this that are familiar with objectives, it'd be something that you might shoot for throughout a game that are kind of hidden depending on whether you've seen them. They're the same objectives for everybody if you've seen them. So it could be like score 2 stars if you're last. I can't even give an example.
I thought that those things were kind of a wasted feature of the game, if I'm going to be honest. Like, because we all got to see it, right? You guys got to see at least 2 of the 3.
I only saw one.
I only saw one as well.
Okay, I did see.
So we didn't know what we were shooting for.
I don't think it mattered because you're still, what you've got to draw is there, and you can only carry so many things through the game while also only having,
yeah.
like you have to use your stuff. So I felt like that was an added mechanic to the game that could have probably been left out. Yeah. Or just shown everybody what is on those and just make those, because it didn't matter. Like, I knew right away what one of them was and had tried to, like, kind of, so, like, you're going to get bonus points for your carrots. I couldn't carry through all those carrots through because I needed to use them elsewhere. So like that was one of my end game goals actually that I set right away to try and set as a strategy. And I don't like I didn't get those points. I think Tracy did.
Yeah, I ended up getting.
And did you even know about that one?
No.
Right. So it didn't matter.
No, I ended up getting 24 points for carrots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end because of that, because I think everyone scores them no matter what. I just didn't even know that it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would have been better off to not have those because you would like those tokens would come out of the bag instead of ingredients. I think it would have been better to just have the ingredients out there. And it's just my opinion on it, which is more important than everybody else's opinion to me. But yeah, I feel like just draw three different random objectives and have those out there or however many and just have them shown. And like then everybody can go for those. The whole hidden part of that, I feel like, was a reach because we're already hiding everything. So that was one change that I would maybe make, and that's probably the only change I would really make.
What also threw me off on those, too, is the fact that, like, I only saw one, so I would think that would be the only one that I would score on.
Well, I think what they're trying to go for is that's the reason to get those tokens during the game is so you can see those objectives so you can work towards that end goal.
Yeah. I just got lucky.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
That's why I was like, should I really be scoring and 24 points on these?
And I think that's almost kind of proves Jason's point then. It's like, you know, you didn't even have to look at them. You scored a shit ton of points.
I like the idea. It's just by all the other rules they made for the game, they made it obsolete to have to care about those. And it didn't matter if you knew it was there or not because it's still luck of the draw what you're going to carry through. There's so many other things happening that even if you want to, you really can't focus. Like, they made it so you couldn't focus on those. Like, there just wasn't a way to do it and play the rest of the game.
Yeah, I almost feel like then going back to what Tracy thought, like, if you get those, that should be your... You should be able to score that and nobody else unless they have that rumor.
That would be a good way to do
it. And that's why I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, that would be a good modification. Maybe that's a spot for house rules right there.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I think I'm a big fan of house rules, even though we never do them. We don't play games, back to back to back enough, I think, to be able to implement house rules. But maybe we should start, kind of keeping notes and putting them in with the game.
Exactly.
Hey, potential house rule.
Because in that case, then... I probably would have gathered more rumors, but I didn't really care about them. But also, I didn't realize I would be collecting at the end either.
Yeah.
But I wanted the ingredients. I didn't want the rumors.
Right. Well, and
I didn't care.
I got a rumor semi-early in the game. Like, I didn't go for them right away because I feel like every time I do that, it ends up being where I hose myself and I should have just got the ingredient.
Yeah.
Whatever resource gain. I always mess up myself up, so I was like, I'm not doing it. But then as we started going, somebody else had grabbed one, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see what this is. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, well, this is pointless.
Yeah.
But, like, why is this here?
It's probably the one I have.
So I was, like, looking at it, and I'm like, well, maybe this specific one just isn't that big of a deal because why is this mechanic in the game if it's this pointless? I'm like, so I'm going to get another one because there's got to be like the other one. And then I looked at that one. I'm like, this one's even more pointless. So then I didn't even try to get the third one.
Yeah.
And once I saw that one was the least pointless out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that I just wasted part of my turn, which there's enough going on that it's not like a big deal. But it's like, why is this here
kind of
thing? Like, it didn't add anything to the game. And it made something more complicated for the game in a game that's already kind of complicated.
All the rules.
I think you could remove that out because none of us did it anyway.
Yeah.
Tracy got some points out of it, but it wasn't enough to really tilt the game in one direction or another, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
You know, I like games where it's not, where one little trick doesn't give that person an automatic win.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I think I won.
You're done.
Isn't a prerequisite for me to enjoy a game. I don't give
it. It was that damn soup.
It was. Yeah. And I didn't even know I was supposed to get it. I got that by accident.
Yeah.
And you guys were all like, grab your soup. And I'm like, does the bisque count? That's what put me that one point over.
The one thing that we didn't talk about that I would want to just highlight really quick is the chefs that you actually put on the board to grab stuff. Like, they've got a little mouse that if you put them on the if you put them on the board, then you should be the first one to grab a ingredient unless you're tied with somebody, and then depending upon player order, then you grab that and then you go to the back of the order, whatever. Then you've got your
lizard.
Thank you. I'm
lizard.
It looks like a lizard. Salamandered. I don't
lizard.
Know. Yeah,
lizard. Lizard.
Good lord.
Lizard.
And that one you can grab.
I can keep doing it.
You could.
Lizard.
And you can grab two ingredients, and then the last one is a boar, which gives you three ingredients. But again, if you tie with certain chefs and there's nobody in front of that, then it goes to player order. You have to jockey for, you know, what you're gonna get. That hidden element kind of screws everything up too, because it's like, okay, if I go here and I use my boar who gets three, and somebody else uses their boar, and maybe another person uses a boar to have three, and there's only five spots available, and I'm last in line, I might be screwed on getting anything in this spot.
They do a good job. For one, as you were saying, like player order, they do a good job of making sure there's no ties, there's no question. Like there's always, everyone at the table knows who goes next.
Yeah.
Like there is no doubt, like, well, I think I go because of this. It's nope, I'm first because I'm in this spot. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're tied. Well, yeah, we go to the player order, a little chef's hat thing on the side. So that's who goes. There's no question to it. I like that they do have, like you said, the mouse, lizard, and the boar. With the mouse gets to take first pick, but they can only carry one because they're small. They're a little mouse. Yeah, and then the lizard's a little bit bigger. They go second. They can carry two things because they're a little bit bigger. And then the boar goes last, but he can carry the most.
Yeah.
So, like, it balances it out. So if there's something out there and you know, like we were saying, like, we had multiple plates that needed the carrots. And if there's only one carrot that's out there, you can try and be the mouse, especially if you're the one that's got the order, like the chef's hat to go first. You can put your mouse at that one with the carrot and know you're going to get to go first, which is nice to have those kind of things where you can guarantee yourself sometimes. Or if you're not sure you're going to get there, you can make sure that you put something else out there and go for a totally different thing that's maybe not on one of the plates.
Yeah.
In regards to that too, speaking of it being a mystery, when you look at the location cards, you're placing them face down in front of your player mat, so no one's going to know where you're going. You're just placing it face down in front of your mouse or your lizard or your boar, so it that piece is unknown to all the other players too. Mm-hmm. So you can't plan based on what everybody else is doing either, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think they do a good job of that. Like the hidden component to this game, which is part of, like I said earlier, like one of the things where I was like, I mean, this game, I don't even want to play this. Like I'm tired, you know. But it's a big benefit to this game. Like it really works.
I don't think it would be fun if it wasn't hidden.
I don't think you could play the game.
I don't think you could either.
Yeah.
Because again, everyone's just trying to go for the same thing, and then it's just kind of like, oh, this is boring.
Yeah, it just turns into a luck of the draw at that point of what numbers are on what you're going for, where this is the numbers came down at the very end, but there was so much other stuff going on that it didn't necessarily matter. Like, yeah, having it all hidden was a good thing to this. And it's not a difficult game to figure out how to play for the basics. There's a lot of minutiae.
Minutia.
There you go. There's a lot of minutia to this game.
Can you give me the definition of minutia?
Mini shoes. So,
no.
I always believe that you cannot use a word unless you can tell me what.
The little quirky things to the game.
I legit didn't know.
Oh, so, I thought you were just like...
Oh, no, I wasn't being an asshole. No, minutia, I was like, I don't need that.
It's the little parts to the overall that make the overall through its parts.
I wasn't giving you a hard time.
The sum of its parts or whatever.
Yeah.
I like how on this game, like, there's a lot of rules to it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, you're just collecting food with numbers on them.
Yeah.
In different ways, so it was good with that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, again, just like when we talked about harmonies, like art is cute, it's fun, it really works with the theme of the game. The gameplay is seamless. I mean, really, like I think even with this one more than harmonies, I feel like once we kind of figured it out, we were just like, okay, you've got this. All right, you take those, and then I'll take this. And like, it, yeah. There wasn't, besides maybe looking at instructions every once in a while, there wasn't very much like stopping, because like it says it takes an hour to play. We were just learning it. A lot of times we're like, oh shit, we're not going to be able to finish this before we go. But once we got in a rhythm, it went pretty fast.
Yeah, there's no downtime to this game unless somebody, like, there's a couple spots where people, where some of us, and I think probably we all had it, where we stopped and we're like, what do I want to do? But even then it was like, you can go ahead. I'll figure this out. Mm-hmm. There was a couple times where we did have to wait to be able to go to the next round. Like, who am I going to put where?
Yeah.
Stuff, but it was very quick, and it was just, it wasn't ever like, oh man, I need to really stop and think about this. It was like, give me a second.
Or I mixed up my people. I put them on the wrong.
You know, we were talking about harmonies that we discussed in that other episode. There was often on that game where we just had to stop and wait for somebody. That's probably one of the few drawbacks to that game, is that there's a lot that you can decide what to do with that one. So you do sit there and wait, where this one, with so many rules and so many different things, you never really do.
Yeah.
Talking about the art like you were, I think this is a game where you could just open up the box and go through the cards and go through the gameplay and not play the game. Just sit there by yourself and be entertained just by the art of the game. Like, they killed it.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Really cute. Yeah. So another great game. I mean, I think after we played this, we decided to grab it for a couple of our friends for Christmas, because we're like, we're sure they're really gonna like it. So
yeah,
going back to the harmonies episode, I feel like everything's tying together. We're just like, we're not just saying, oh, this is a cute game, you should play it. Like, we bought it for somebody else now.
Yeah, I loved this game. If I had other friends that played games, I would definitely go get Critter Kitchen.
Yeah.
But you guys are my friends that play games, so I'll just play with you.
Exactly. So yeah, again, reiterate, go to your local board game store.
Shop local.
Shop local. I don't know why I'm like,
what
was that? I don't know. Just, I've been through a lot, Jason. This week has been this move, and plus my job. But I could literally talk about that for hours. You don't want to hear it, so we're just gonna say goodbye for now, and thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
I'm Jason.
This was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.